Welcome to the walkthrough.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the week 9 edition of the walkthrough. I'm Maddie Keewoom, joined of course by my co-host Cody Carpentier. What's going on, Cody?
What's going on, brother? It's Thursday, another week. It's Halloween, baby.
Spooky. My day's already started off very, very scary, but I'm not going to bore you with the druds and trials and tribulations of Mr. Keewoom. But we are going to go through each and every game on the week 9 slate. Give us our breakdown. Give us maybe a little rankings, maybe a little betting tips. It doesn't matter. We're walking through the entire week 9 slate. The two teams on by are the San Francisco 49ers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's it, right? Just two?
Just two this week, man. We got to get some more in here because last week we had none and we missed you guys. We didn't get a show in. A lot of traveling stuff for both of us. And next week we got four byes. I think the following week it's four. And then I think week 12 is like the big daddy. So more and more byes.
Yeah.
More and more byes on the up and up. This is when you got to start paying attention to the deep dives. I'm going to do the Undercovered Ops later today. Well, actually, this is going to drop on Friday. So yesterday I will have done Undercovered Ops. But you got to stay tapped into everything at South Harmon and get yourself ready for these fantasy playoffs because the weeks click into that double digit next week, and that's when you know you got to unbunch your panties and get moving.
Get moving, get wheeling and dealing. This is going to be a week that sets a lot of things up because teams that are vying for playoff spots, they're going to need this win. Because over the next 3 weeks, as you mentioned, we are going to be smashed with a lot of teams playing golf and not football. So we're not going to have those players in our rosters. But you're going to want to keep coming back because, of course, we got the names that you need to know. And if you go to southharmonff.com, get the premium warp tool, well, then you'll know all the names and you'll actually be able to see a value that'll transcend through all four positions and really be able to get all the value in your league, steal it from your league mates. A little bit of that, your soul is mine. A little Mortal Kombat reference. It is Halloween time, but by the time you're hearing this, it's already over. Hope you have candy. Hope you're having fun. Get a Reese's ready, and let's dive in to the first game on the slate. The Dallas Cowboys take their 3-4 record to Atlanta to take on the 5-3 Falcons. Cowboys are getting 2.5 points as road underdogs. The over-under of 52. Gets you all hot and bothered, doesn't it, Cody? Seeing those projected points for these offenses, these fantasy players, man, it'll get the juices flowing. And speaking of juice, if you want a little juice on the Cowboy money line, plus 120 on DraftKings isn't too shabby. But we all know CD Lamb goes absolutely bonkers last week against the Niners in Sunday Night Football, almost 45 fantasy points. He is going to be a top most, or at least in the top five of all wide receiver rankings. So, of course, we're excited about him. But I want to talk about the quarterback, Mr. Carpentier, Dak Prescott. What's wrong with him? Why is he not really the value that we thought he'd be this far in? I mean, coming out of the bye last week, we thought he's going to get it cooking. He didn't. Should we start to panic about Dak Prescott, who is outside of the top 120 in terms of total warp?
No, sir. No, sir. I'm not panicking on Dak. I understand this whole situation is yak, but this I'm not panicking on Dak. We saw him give you a QB2 week already this year. We saw him finish as QB1 almost three times consecutively, week 3, 4, 5. The last 2 weeks haven't been great. I think he bounces back in Atlanta. This game has Sunday DFS dance party written all over it with Dak and CeeDee Lamb. And potentially, you know, some way, shape, or form of a Ferguson or a Tolbert or something along here being somebody that gets there. And then, of course, everybody on Atlanta who's just been feasting Kirk Cousins with his four touchdown passes. I think Dak bounces back here. This will be an interesting game. Another interesting stat here, along with having – I do have Dak as a top five play this week – is EPA per rush. The Cowboys are dead last in defense and EPA per rush this season. And of course, Bijan Mustardson walks in here as he's starting to heat up as the weeks go by. Big, big into Bijan Robinson this week. I think I'm going to end up bumping him up and up as the week continues to go by. I've loved everything I've seen. A couple weeks ago, we were like saying, like, this is finally your opportunity, Bijan. You got to kind of chitter off the pot. And that was in week six. And since then, he's been running back 3, 8, and 4. So Bijan's going to be a guy that I'm going to end up being hyper bullish on this week in the rankings.
What do you think about, I don't know how to phrase this. Let me just take a second here. What do you think about the Dallas Cowboy overall attack? Because you just mentioned how, you know, they don't run the football. You know, they can get the ball ran against them, but they don't run the football. They don't really have much outside of Ferguson and Lamb. Tolbert, you said, you might play him this week. But you said this before the show, so maybe this is why I'm thinking it. Could they be on the verge of making a trade for a wide receiver?
They should be on the verge of making a trade for a wide receiver. Like, the deadline's next Tuesday. A lot of stuff happens next Tuesday. The college football playoff comes out. I think there's a worldwide, conference call, I think, on like the Fox and CNN and all these different channels. I'm not sure what's going on there. And then the trade deadline, NFL trade deadline, baby. That's the one we're all waiting for, the NFL trade deadline. Potentially, I don't know. Why not like an Adam Thielen? Why not an Adam Thielen? I mean, it's not cute, but what is more Dallas right now than some, putridy, goofy, hey, Adam Thielen's healthy. Let's trade, like you said, a seventh round flip flop for an Adam Thielen and just like bring him in here. They should trade for Adam Thielen and Miles Sanders at this point. They need.
Oh, that's Michael a good idea.
Yesterday was, he said, Miles Sanders would be an upgrade for this Dallas backfield. Miles Sanders isn't good, but that's how bad the Cowboys are, is that Miles Sanders would be an upgrade to this backfield. He's at least got juice. Nobody in this backfield in Dallas has juice other than, the guy that had 102 temp and didn't play on Sunday. They played Dalvin Cook, not good. Zeke, not good. They got to find something here. I mean, there's got to be a guy that was in the XFL last year. There's got to be a guy that was undrafted that has more juice than these two that can just run into the back of their own offensive lineman and gain 3 or 4 yards per carry. There has to be a guy. Did we see Bo Scarborough come out a couple of years ago for the Lions, just walk onto the field and just average 4.5 yards per carry? Like, there's got to be somebody out there that can do more than what the Cowboys have in this backfield. It is shameful that the Cowboys are playing football like this right now.
Yeah, and to think, like, why didn't they sign Kareem Hunt? Like, he was just sitting out there. Jerry Jones is in his lazy phase, but this is certainly a fire him up game for fantasy. You're firing everybody up, but real quick, who's winning this game?
Cowboys by 2.
Oh, you cheeky 38-36. Cheeky Boston. Oh, I like that for fantasy. I love that. All right, let's move on to the next game that is a bit unsuspecting when you look at the records. Both teams are 5-3. One being the home team, the Baltimore Ravens, expected to be good. Better than this, I'd say. But they host the Denver Broncos, who are actually the 5th seed in the AFC ahead of the Baltimore Ravens. The over-under of 45.5, I think, suggests a bit of a slugfest. I don't know which way that's going to go. And the over-under, I mean, the spread here, 9 points. Denver's getting 9 points as a road underdog. So let's start with that over-under, because the Ravens' offense has been so high-powered. And Bo Nix has been a top 10 quarterback 3 of the last 4 weeks. Doesn't this seem like a crazy low number?
It's interesting here. Denver's 6-2 against the spread this year also, which is like third best in football. Colts are 7-1. Detroit and Washington are 6-1. Denver's right there at 6-2. I don't really know. We talked about this on the hurdle on Tuesday night. I don't really know what to make of Denver. I really like their defense. Bo Nix is coming around. Speaking of a team that like just needs some weaponry outside, I think that's Denver. We saw Denver get there last week against the worst run defense, arguably the worst run defense in football, not really being able to run the ball early. We had Javonte Williams to get 17 carries for 44 yards. I think we had the prop last week was like 63 or 62 or 64.5, something along those lines. That was one of the few that we got wrong at Roster Watch this last week, and it was painful because it was like, man, this is a layup, and they're winning this game. And they should be just riding this thing out. And it was, McLaughlin's getting carries, and The efficiency is just down. And then Courtland Sutton, man, Courtland Sutton being able to pin which week Courtland Sutton's going to get targeted 10 times or be targeted or catch zero footballs, like going from wide receiver 77, having zero targets in week 7 to wide receiver 13 in week 8 with 11 targets. And then that being like his fourth game this year with 9 or more targets. Like it's so weird to see the process of a guy like this in Courtland Sutton. They've won both those games. They're winning in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore, the problem here in Baltimore is that how many times have we seen Baltimore, Matty? Like, I don't want to say lose and then get right, but like how many times have we seen them maybe like underperform and then then go home and then just shit stomp somebody?
We've seen it almost every single time. But the only time that they didn't in recent memory was the Raiders. After they lost to the Chiefs, they went home to host the Raiders and lost. And we were on this very show expecting them to absolutely dog walk the Raiders. They didn't. So historically, I would say this is a get right game. It lines up to be that. But after what has happened in this season, I don't know if I could guarantee that. I think the Denver Bronco defense is good enough to cause issues for the Ravens offense. But at the end of the day, an 80-yard touchdown run from Derrick Henry, a 40-yard touchdown run from Lamar Jackson, a 70-yard touchdown run from Zay Flowers, they can break it open, and that just changes the landscape of everything. But I think if the Denver Broncos have their way, they will try to suffocate and play slow. That's my guess. Do you think that is a possibility? And where about do you have Courtland Sutton? Because like you said, he could be so good or he could be so bad. When you look at him as overall, he is a top 75 warp player, which is kind of surprising. He's been more valuable than a lot of well-known wide receivers. The problem is consistency week to week in our lineup leagues that can cause us to age 4 years for every month. But where do you got him this week? Where do you have him?
I'm sort of a sheep in the Courtland Sutton thing. Like I said a minute ago, I don't understand it. Like, he had Lattimore against New Orleans. He had J.C. Horn against Carolina. J.C. Horn's young and good. Lattimore's older and good. And the defenses aren't that far off, I think, in how they're built and how you can attack them. And he does nothing, and he does a lot. And the game before that, he was wide receiver 23. On the season, he's wide receiver 34. I kind of took the sheep way out on this one, and I just made him wide receiver 37 on the week. He's got the number one matchup on the RosterWatch matchup tool. I don't know, man. I don't, like, it's hard for me to say, like, I believe, because I do. I believe that a matchup against Marlon Humphreys and this back end, there's abilities. If they get down, there's, like, the football's going to be thrown, period. But is it going to be thrown to Courtland Sutton? And if it is, and I know that, if I know this guy's going to get 10, 11, 12 targets, then I think I can probably put him as a top 24, top 22 option and feel really good about it. But I don't feel really good about it because I've seen him go 11 targets to 4, 9 to 5, 6 to 0. He just had 11. I don't know what our job is to analyze the player and what they do. I don't know how to analyze the coach and how they, or the quarterback and where his eyes go or how he utilize. Like, I don't, it's one of the few things I think in the sport, like figuring out where the quarterback's going to go with the football. It's like, this is clearly the best weapon he has.
Yeah.
But then there's
they have first read metrics, but that doesn't always mean the, you know, because we all know talent wise he is the best.
Yeah, but first used versus plays being drawn up for a specific player or an offense planning not to utilize a guy in a game.
Well, Cody, listen to this. I do
He's
have
not just Jefferson.
I have Courtland Sutton at 37 as well, which is funny. I mean, like on the nuts, 37. How do you see this game finishing? Give me a score. Give me a winner.
Again, we had the Circa Million show last night, and I was thinking about this Denver side of it getting 9, and I just don't trust Denver as much. I do think this is the get right game for Baltimore. They go back. I mean, this is a team that the 4 games before the Tampa game scored 35, 41, 30, and 41, all in victories. Home away. Now they go on the road for the second straight week. They lose to Cleveland, a rival game. They're going to come back home against Denver. And I think, like, you saw it last year in an opportunity where they beat Cleveland. They came home and lost to Pittsburgh, and then they go and beat Tennessee on the road. We saw them lose at home against Cleveland and then beat the Bengals the next week by 2 touchdowns. I think we've seen them do it. I know early in the season they lost to the Raiders. Sometimes early in the season I kind of write stuff off. I think Baltimore wins this game by 20.
Okay. That would be
I'll go 34-10.
Jeez, okay. Bully beatdown. All right, well, why don't we head over to the AFC East when the Miami Dolphins take on the Buffalo Bills, a battle of 6-2, hosting 2-5. Dolphins are getting 6 points as road underdogs. Over-under 49 is pretty, I think that's fair, and I think that's a little bit exciting that it is pushing 50 given how bad the offense has been, how good the defense has been, I would say, for the Bills and offense for the Dolphins. Money line, you get juice taking the Dolphins, but... I don't know if we're going to head that way. Let's start there, though. Do you think the Dolphins have a chance to beat the Bills on the road?
This is the ultimate shit or get off the pot game. Like, Miami has to win this football game, or, you know, Tua might as well just pack up and go home and just recover for the rest of the year. I get the schedule opens up, Rams, Raiders, Pats, but if you don't beat the Bills and take the initiative, those three games don't really matter. Because they do have some tough defenses as the winter approaches, right? They got the Jets twice. They got the Niners, the Browns, the Texans, the Packers. Those are tough games at the end. You need to establish it now. They missed their two opportunities against the Colts and Cardinals. Those were borderline must-win games coming out of a bye. The preparation was pure and forward to do it, and now you get your retribution on Buffalo. This whole team needs to become aligned. We were a week early last week against Arizona. I think Miami upsets Buffalo here in Buffalo, gets the win by, you don't know, 4, 5, 6 points. I think Tua looks more like Tua. We were all hot and bothered about it last week. We're like, oh, Tua's back. Let's fire up Tyreek. Let's fire up Waddle. We think this thing's going to – We're a little early. I do think – I'm gonna jump right back in the cold bath, and I'm going to do it. I'm gonna ride with Tua. I'm gonna ride with these Miami Dolphins, and I'm gonna believe in this game in totality. I talked about it a minute ago. I like that Atlanta Dallas game. I can't. It's hard for me to have any disdain for this one. So I'm gonna fire up our guy Tyreek as a top three play, and I'm gonna have a good day. And I'm gonna play Tua, and I'm gonna play Devon Achane, and on the other side, I mean, it's Josh Allen, period. Do you think Miami has a chance of winning this game?
I do not. I do think there is a chance that we see good games from their pass catchers. One of either Tyreek or Jalen Waddle. Obviously, Tyreek being the favorite to go off, I have him also ranked. I'm not, like we've talked about this before, I'm not ever just fading Tyreek Hill. I'm at 5. Even though like the matchup isn't great for opposing wide receivers, he came in about middle of the pack in the cuck score. Tyreek Hill did against Rasul Douglas. So he's at 22. I don't know. I like him. I like him. I think he's just fine there. I just don't think they're going to win. They have to be tough. They're not tough. The Bills are a little tough. Bills have been playing tough. And I don't think they're going to have the toughness to win on the road. But I think fantasy-wise, everything seems... a bit straightforward. Last question I'm going to ask before we move to the next game. Rank these wide receivers. Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, and Amari Cooper.
Keon Cooper, Shakir.
Okay, so this is the week that Khalil Shakir takes a back seat. Next game we're going to talk about is another... What?
Did you see the video last week of Keon Coleman?
No.
You didn't see the video against from Keon Coleman... Absolutely. Who the hell was it that he was bullying? I guess it was from a minute ago. The Tariq Woolen. There's a cut up of him against Tariq Woolen the whole game. So Tariq Woolen beats him and he's like, incomplete, seatbelt, all this shit, right? Maybe the next, I don't know if it was the next play or not, but the clip, it was the next play. They throw it back to Keon and Keon snatches it. And then they go to another clip, and Keon's coming off the line blocking, and he plants Tariq. And then there's like four more plays from this game of Keon Coleman just abusing Tariq Woolen, putting him on the putting him on the seat on the sideline, on the bench, took him over there and set him on it. Like it's a top five alpha wide receiver clip of just, it gets you amped up. It gets you amped up like Antonio Brown putting a foot through a punter's face. It gets you amped up like Andre Johnson punching Cortland Finnegan. It gets you amped up like that.
Okay. All right. So I'm assuming you have him inside your top 24 this week.
Keon Coleman's my wide receiver one.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
Oh shit. Oh my God. I was like, okay. Okay. Talk to me. But he has to be. Cause I mean, where do you have him then? If he's your number one, my number one ranked Bills receivers, Shakir at 23.
Okay.
So you have Coleman highest. Where do you have him?
Coleman's at 27.
Okay. So we're both not necessarily super high on one.
No.
We're all kind of in there. Okay.
No, they're all back to back.
I think you're starting most of them, unless you could do a pivot with, like, I think Amari. I think I want to wait and see the Amari thing play out a little bit more. Next matchup, the New Orleans Saints, who are on a 6-game losing streak. Holy shit, those two wins to start the season seem like a decade ago. They've been getting them cheeks clapped. And this week is it a get-right game for them. This is the only team they can go to in the division and potentially be better than the Carolina Panthers, 1-7. The over-under 43.5 is exactly where it should be. But the spread, Carolina Panthers are home dogs by 7.5, getting a 275 money line on DraftKings as we speak. So fantasy-relevant players, Olave, check. You're going to play Olave. After that, who?
I don't know what to think of this. Derek Carr, there's possibility Derek Carr comes back in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, like, I love Spencer Rattler, but I mean, let's be honest. He ain't.
I've been saying, we don't need to talk about Spencer Rattler. I've been saying how bad.
He's not bad. He just ain't ready.
Whatever. Fine.
Well, Anthony Richardson is not bad. He's just not ready.
No, he's bad.
He's bad right now, but he's not ready to play football.
That, you know, we're climbing up the same mountain. We're just taking different paths. I think he is like objectively bad. You can't say he's good. You could call him not ready, but that's just a cute way of saying bad.
No, I understand he's bad right now, but I'm just saying he's not ready, but he's not bad overall.
He is bad overall. He's just a young man that can get better at a sport, but he's bad.
Those two things can work together.
Well, they have to if he's going to be better than bad, but he's bad.
And those can both be true.
For sure. But this is okay.
Spencer Rattler is more worse than he is not ready.
On the scale,
he's bad and not half ready. He is not ready and not worse.
That's what we need. We need the chart. We need the line chart of Cody Carpentier's bad versus not ready, because bad and not ready, the distinction between the two is a player you like and a player you don't like, because a player you don't like, well, you know, you're going to say he's bad.
If this was a video
player podcast, you like, you say, oh, he's just not ready.
If this was a video podcast, we would do the full line chart here, and this would be bad. People on the podcast have no idea. I'm currently writing on a sheet of paper to a screen that doesn't exist, and there's your line chart. Bad, worse. Wait, that's not what it was. Bad, not ready. Isn't that what we're talking about? Bad, not ready.
Bad, not ready.
Anthony Richardson's here. He's more not ready than he is bad. And I think Spencer Rattler's here. He's more
this
bad
is great for audio
than not ready.
So I think what we just told everyone listening was, we're not excited about anyone in this game. But look, give me a winner and we'll move on.
You know what I'm excited for? I'll give you the winner. The winner of this game is the Panthers are going to win this game if Carr doesn't play. If Carr plays, I think the Saints get right. I think the Saints pull this thing out of their little behinds if Carr plays. Kamara's got a good matchup. I think Olave, Kamara, and Carr are good enough to get these guys through Carolina. If Carr does not play, I do believe that this is a situation that Carolina could do some decent work. I like Jalen Coker. I've liked him. He was a Shrine Bowl guy, and he's getting his opportunity. Fusu Vu's having a heyday right now on the old social media.
Yo, you need to talk to your boy. He is running wild on X, running wild over the last 2 weeks.
He's like, man, don't give Carolina too much credit. I saw this last one. He goes, don't give them too much credit. they should have taken Coker over Xavier Leggett.
Yeah,
and I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, no, they just should have not taken Xavier Leggett. That's the problem. It's not that you should have taken him over him, but you just don't take him. You just know better. I mean, they took Mingo the year before. Like, they don't know how to evaluate or understand the positional value of a wide receiver. That's okay. Like, if you don't get a superstar, then you need to. If you weren't in the area to draft a superstar, like a guy in the top 10 that has top 10 traits, then you just ship it to Boston. You understand the draft layout and you go get a guy like a Coker. That's what you do.
That's what you do.
Anyway, man. Coker's good. Yeah. Holy Cross kid.
Yep.
6'1", 215-pound athlete that we saw at the Shrine Bowl. Going to be really good. Maybe their best receiver now that Deontay's gone. Adam Thielen, like I said, should be on one of the next Jets out of town. Sanders should be on one of the next. If you're building this franchise and Dan Morgan, who we don't really believe knows 100% what he's doing, if he knew what he was doing, he'd be trading Sanders. He would give Sanders, like, this would be a perfect game to say, all right, Miles Sanders, you're going to get the lion's share of the opportunities here, and we're going to show you have juice, and then we're going to trade you tomorrow. Adam Thielen, if he's ready to come back, we'll play you. We're going to give you 6-7 targets. We're going to show you're okay, and we're going to trade you tomorrow. We're going to get assets. We need assets, period. So that's what all I really want to see in this thing. And Jonathan Brooks touching the football field? Touching the football field? Yeah, sure, he can practice. He ain't touching the football field. He ain't touching the stadium. No, sorry, Bob, he's not. But they might do it. But they might do it. That's the problem, Maddie. They might do it. They might play Jonathan Brooks. And you know what? He may have a couple carries. And I'm going to continue to say it. I said it in ops last week. I'll say it going forward. Do not add, do not utilize, do not draft, do not do anything with Jonathan Brooks in the year of 2024. Don't do it, because it'd be you believing in the Carolina Panthers and trusting their process, and I don't trust their process at all. Now, a year from now, sure, maybe, but not right now. So, anyway, this game sucks.
This game isn't great. The next one, I don't know if it's all that much better. The Las Vegas Raiders are 2-6, but they head to the Cincinnati Bengals and take on the 3-5 disappointment. I'll call them. They've been an absolutely disappointing team so far this season. High expectations not met. The Raiders are touchdown road underdogs, 46.5 over under. We're obviously playing Jamar Chase. We're playing T. Higgins if he starts. We're playing Joe Burrow. Chase Brown or Zach Moss? Which one are you playing if you can only play one?
Oh, you can't play Zach Moss at this point. You just can't play him. The opportunities have went down. Chase, they both went down last week for both guys. But the efficiency for me for Zach Moss is he's just not good. He hasn't been to the top 30 since week four. Chase Brown hasn't been that much better. But Chase Brown, at least since week four, was running back 6, 16, 17, 27. He's been consistently at least in the conversation. He's clearly got more juice. Moss just really isn't that good. Moss and Sermon can kind of go the way of themselves. They're two doppelgangers that are donks, and with a good offensive line can maybe get some work, but you have to play Chase Brown if you touch anything at the running back position in Cincinnati. For me, straightforward. Did you see the comments from Joe Burrow about Jermaine Burton?
No, I did see a nice catch though last Sunday.
Joe Burrow said yesterday, says that Jermaine Burton deserves more playing time after the way he played in practice and in the game. In practice and in the game. Those are words that came from our guy Joey B. Last week, Jermaine Burton had a season high. Let's see the number here. A season high 17 routes run, 3 targets, and 81 air yards. On the season so far, he's got like 15 routes run up until this point. This game, he had 17 routes run. The guy that I guess took the biggest nobody really took a big drop down. Like Yosavage had, you know, a season high in routes run. Chase ran his 40. T. Higgins ran 28 routes. I guess it was probably because of T. Higgins that he got most of the opportunity. But I don't know what to do with Burton. I don't know if you're going to play him or anything, but probably not. He's probably more of, like we talked before the show, like a 65 to 75 guy as far as the ranks go. But I do think it's an interesting opportunity here. I know our guy Seth Dewald loves some Jermaine Burton. So if you're in Dynasty, and he was a draft pick last year, so I'm not saying you're going to be able to go at him or anything, but if you're going to make a move, if you ever loved Jermaine Burton, you have like kind of one opportunity here before it seems like Burrow's going to try and push this guy forward and give him more targets, especially if the season goes haywire, we could see it more and more.
That makes sense. And then I think on the Raiders side, it's pretty cut and dry, right? It's Bowers, it's Myers, it's weirdly enough, Alexander Mattison, and that's it.
Do you feel good about that though? Like, do you feel good about playing Jacoby Myers right now?
Yeah, I do. I think the targets are there.
That's good targets enough.
It's good enough, and the secondary is bad enough. I mean, Jacoby Myers has been a producer with targets. And if you give him 8-9 targets, he's going to catch most of them for 60 to 80 yards. And that's good enough for me. I got him at 25 this week. So I'm okay with Myers. Bowers, of course. Bowers, I saw today, is this true that he is on pace to have a bigger rookie season than Puka Nacua?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
The receptions are just maniacal at this point.
It's just nuts. And then, of course, Alexander Mattison, just the constant plug your nose and play running back too. I haven't met running back 28. The volume is just, you know, it's built for double digits. It's built for, you know what? This is probably one of the biggest bonehead moves on my part in terms of running backs, to just not have any thoughts about Alexander Mattison being irrelevant was stupid. It was stupid. Dylan Lobby clouded my judgment, thought he would have a chance to catch the field. He hasn't. The one touch he had, he fumbled it, hasn't seen the field since. And Alexander Mattison is just a pro. And sometimes it's not as complicated as anything other than pro. He's a pro. He's going to find his way. Much like Devin Singletary on the Texans. I love Singletary on the Texans last year because he's a pro. And I did not think anything of it when it came to Alexander Mattison. Big mistake, because here he is going for round twos right now for contending round twos for Alexander Mattison.
We live
in a weird world. He's worth it if you need one. Next game on the slate, the Los Angeles Chargers 4-3 head to the Cleveland Jameis Winstons. The Browns are 2-6, but they are coming off a victory against the Ravens last week. The over-under 43 suggests low scoring, which it's pretty obvious. And then the game, it's pretty much a pick'em game, but the Browns are actually 1.5-point underdogs at home. Fantasy relevant players, real quick, we can go through them because we're not excited about any of them, to be quite frank. Maybe Dobbins we're happy about. But where I want to start is this Cedric Tillman, Elijah Moore, post Amari Cooper emergence. Is this something we can bet on week to week?
I got to be careful with this. You got to be very careful with how I want to say this.
Very, very careful.
Cedric Tillman's 24 and a half years old. 6'3", 215 pounds, Power 5 conference, third round pick. He was drafted ahead of Josh Downs in that 2023 NFL draft. 4'5", 440, 80th percentile speed and burst. If anybody watched Cedric Tillman play football on Sunday, you're telling on yourself if you don't think he looked better than anything we've seen from Amari Cooper in 3 years. I think what we saw from Cedric Tillman, not just from a statistical standpoint, from an on-field route running, intangibles, speed, everything standpoint, I think Cedric Tillman looks like what they've wished they would have gotten from Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
For 2 years, we watched another wide receiver from the Power 5 that was 6'3", maybe 6'4", about 215 pounds, ran a 4.50. I loved him. I loved this other guy. I've also loved Cedric Tillman. They're built the same way. They win in similar ways. The situation throughout this other guy's first 2 years was odd. Their attachments are interesting. Deshaun Watson's an attachment here. Nico Collins broke out in year 3, right? I'm not saying Cedric Tillman's going to do that right now, but Cedric Tillman's going to do that right now. You're beginning to see it. And I'm not jumping out too early. I'm not getting too hot on this. I'm just telling you, from a prospect standpoint, we knew Cedric Tillman was good. We knew Cedric Tillman was better than Jalen Hyatt.
I didn't want to believe it, but I knew it.
Right? The guy got hurt at Tennessee. He's an alpha wide receiver, bro. Like, look at what Nico's doing. Nico, until he got hurt this year, was one of the best wide receivers in the last 20 games. The last 20 games, period. 2023, 2024. 164 targets, 112 receptions, 1,800 yards, and 11 touchdowns in his last 20 games for Nico Collins. The first half of his career, just under 1,000 yards, 3 touchdowns, 670 receptions. It's about the player, the profile, the athlete, the ability, and CJ Stroud unlocked Nico Collins. Cedric Tillman is being unlocked earlier because he's finally got a quarterback. If Deshaun Watson was old Deshaun Watson, we would have seen the Cedric Tillman earlier. But Deshaun Watson has never thrown a 300-yard game in his career in Cleveland. Ever. Ever.
That's crazy.
Ever. Winston comes in on day one and goes, here's 300, here's 3 touchdowns, here's no picks. Not saying we're going to get that every week. Threw the ball 41 times. Not saying we're going to get all this every week. We did it against the Baltimore Ravens defense. I'm not saying Cleveland's going to win out. I'm not saying anything other than Tillman had 9 targets, Elijah Moore had 12, Judy had 8, and Njoku had 7. And guess what? They each caught more than 50% of those passes.
Right. Big indication.
You can only do with what they tell you.
Difference.
Go buy Cedric Tillman in Dynasty. This is your welcome. He's going to be the undercover op of the week. I'm going to talk about it. He's not really undercover op anymore. We talked about him literally last year on undercover ops, but we're going to circle back. We're going to have a little dance party on the show. I guess I don't know why I'm speaking in forward. I should be speaking in backwards because this comes out on Friday morning. That's my bad. Anyway, Maddie.
I just literally sent out an offer for Cedric Tillman in my league because I was wrong about Nico Collins and you were right. And this is why I feel like I am good at fantasy, because I'm completely changing my opinion on certain archetype receivers because I know when I was wrong. I know it. And I want to right those wrongs. So I just sent out that offer. I like to hear what you put. I like that. Cedric Tillman.
I told you I wanted to be careful with how I.
Yeah, you were. And I love it.
And then I just finally went for it.
You were, and I love it. Here we go. The next game, the NFC East, the 6-2 Washington Commies head to New York to take on the 2-6 Giants. Despite a pretty big difference in record and overall probably roster set, Washington Commanders are only 4-point favorites on the road. Over under 44 is a bit depressing considering the weapons here. Jayden Daniels, smash, every week play. Terry McLaurin, smash, the best buy in seasonal right now for wide receivers. He's a lot better, folks, than you're giving him credit for. Of course, the surface stats are there. He's wide receiver 4. He's the 4th wide receiver in receiving yards this season. But when you look at the warp, how replaceable he is, the fact of the matter is he's got a ton of value. He's a top 26 overall player, wide receiver 10 in warp. That suggests He's here to stay, folks. So we're playing him. We're playing Brian Robinson. We're playing Austin Eckler in terms of a flex play. We're playing Zach Ertz because he just continues to get targets. But on the New York football Giants side, my friend, are we going to get Tyrone Tracy? Because we need him after last game.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think we're probably going to go the way of Pierre Cuckery, and he's going to get the old concussion protocol through the weekend. We saw in the same team. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, seems like the Giants have been tougher on the concussions than some other teams. Arizona. We saw my league neighbors miss 2 games in the concussion protocol. Tracy's in concussion protocol. He looks fantastic. He looks absolutely great. And he tweeted it out this weekend after the game or whatever. And he goes, or maybe it was Monday or Tuesday. He tweeted out, quote tweeted a video of him running a touchdown. And he goes, would you believe this is my 2nd year playing the position? Wild.
It's wild.
Wild. Guy's just ripping off 100-yard games like it's his job, because it literally is. And it's like, would you believe this is my 2nd career? Like, no. Like, I
just stop.
They need him badly to be competent. And I think that he's proving to be like the future at this position. But I do think without him playing, Singletary goes more back into his role. But I do like Eric Gray. I like Eric Gray is just an efficient guy out of the backfield catching passes. I think I'm going to have him probably going to end up right as a fringe RB3 on the week by the time Sunday rolls around for Eric Gray. It's a number 12 matchup for running backs on the matchup tool. The Giants absolutely suck. Washington's a wagon when Jayden Daniels is playing. We weren't sure if Jayden Daniels was going to play last week. We actually picked, I think we talked about this in the hurdle, we picked Chicago in the Circa Millions to cover. But that was before the news came out that Daniels was going to play. That was before the 5-point line change. Like, Daniels is a wagon, period, point blank, period. And this game against the Giants is going to be no different. They're 3.5-point favorites. I think this is the, you know, Washington basically last week was kind of like a, they've had big games, right? They beat the Browns. They've beaten the Cardinals. They beat the brakes off the Panthers. A close, tough game against Caleb. And now they get a divisional game that they've already beaten the Giants once. They can beat them again on the road this time. I think that would really make a statement here before they go to Pennsylvania for back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, that beating 7-2 looks, you've arrived at a 7-2. I don't care who you've played. Yep. I don't care how it's gone. 7-2 is an impressive record. Of course, we're playing Malik Nabers. But that's kind of it in terms of the fantasy analysis. Really not much to dive into other than the running back situation for the Giants.
We're Zach Ertz has been a top 10 guy all year. Are you of the train of thought that Ertz can continue this thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's been zero passing of the torch to Sinnott. He had that one play that was really, he came out of the H-back, wasn't it? Or he was in line. It was a goal line type thing. And he went right back to being absolutely irrelevant. Zero, nothing. Barely even saw the field. So, yeah, I think this is a full season thing as long as he's healthy. I just continuously rank him around 10 as opposed to 5 because I just don't know if the upside's there. I think we just see a lot of 5 for 60, 6 for 50. Good games, but he's always going to be outshadowed by when Kyle Pitts goes for 2 tutties, when Kelsey goes for 10 catches and 90 yards and a touchdown, when Njoku gets 7 targets and goes berserk. Those guys, will continue. So I always have him anywhere from 9 to 12. I've met 11 this week,
which is dialed. That's exactly what he is. 11, 9, 9 the last 3 weeks, tight end 11 on the season.
Perfect. Yeah, I think that's just kind of smart process with that. This next game, we can get through it in about 30 seconds because the New England Patriots, without Drake May, or at least we're not thinking so, take the 2-6 record to the Tennessee Titans and play the 1-6. Again, another disappointing team, but just another disappointment. Patriots are getting 3.5 points, over under of 38. Couldn't be low enough. Hit the under on that. Pollard, we're going to play Pollard. We're going to play Ramondre. Are we playing Calvin Ridley this week?
I don't really want to. I got him as wide receiver 32. I think Tennessee can win this game. I think Tennessee can win this game. Both these teams are dead last in pressures allowed on the offensive side of the ball. And they're also bottom 5 in pressures given. So they're horrible at facing pressure, and they're equally as bad at giving pressure. And the Patriots just got rid of Josh Uche, and the Tennessee Titans still have Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat. I think that this is going to be a tougher game for the Patriots to do stuff on offense. I think the Colts are going to be able to, as long as Rudolph plays, if Will Levis plays, I don't know what the hell. I mean, I think he's on a scale of, you know, worse to not ready. I think he's more worse than he is not ready. Unfortunately, which breaks my heart, but I think Tennessee's in better hands with Mason Rudolph. And I think that just has to be, you know, what it is. Calvin Ridley's not even averaging 10 fantasy points per game at this point, and he's getting adequate output. He's getting 7.5 targets a game, and he can't score 10 fantasy points per game, which is idiotic.
Yeah, with Brissett in this game, I think the Patriots lose 13-10, 13-7. If Drake May plays, I think for the Titans going to have to score 20 points to beat him. I think the Patriots will score 17, 20 points with Drake May. He's just shown to be enough of a disruptor of game flow. He can move. He can chuck it. I think he's good. I think he's on the scale of good to, I mean, bad to not ready. I think it's very low on the bad and looking more and more ready than I thought, but it's still in the middle. It's not quite ready yet. Let's keep it moving, though, because there's not much in that game else to talk about. The Bears, though, after getting beat by a Hail Mary, could have been 5-2. They would have been sitting pretty at 5-2, but they're 4-3. They head west to play the 4-4 Cardinals. Over under 44.5, I think, is a little bit under what I was expecting. But the game, again, is a pick 'em. The Bears, though, getting 1.5 on the road. I would suggest this, though. If you want to take the points, screw the points. You get no juice with the points. Go with the money line. You do get slight juice on DraftKings taking the 102 for the Bears if you believe they can beat Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. I think this is a game where you're playing Kyler, you're playing Marv, you're playing Connor. Is there anyone else? You're playing McBride. Anyone other than that? Is there any? You playing Michael Wilson? You playing Greg Dortch?
No, I think you got to keep this one consolidated. Chicago is the second best pass defense per EPA, EPA per pass. Next, the you know the Broncos defense is good on the back end, right, with Pat Surtain, etc. Chicago's number two, and we know Jalen Johnson's good. We know Tyreek Stevenson's a little bit of a donk, but he's still really. And that game on Sunday against Washington, like, let's be honest, Washington literally had 12 points off of four field goals up until that point, up until that long touchdown. Chicago's playing really good defense right now. And I think in this game against Arizona, they can kind of keep them low-key. You look at the last few games for the Bears, they give up 18 to Washington again, 12 technically until that last Hail Mary, 16 to Jacksonville, 10 to Carolina, 18 to the Rams. They've been strong on defense. Now they travel out to the West Coast. Here's the thing with Arizona too. We talk about Arizona being kind of a bipolar team all year, getting blown out, blowing out, winning close, losing close, doing everything. They just won very close back-to-back weeks, and now they go back home. I don't know. James Conner didn't look great. He leads the league in missed tackles forced right now. Mm-hmm. Marv got going. McBride's McBride. I think this is a spot where Caleb can get right, though. I like Caleb in this game. I like DJ in this game. I like Komet in this game. Swift has swifted the paradigm.
There it is, baby.
And I think he has to be a guy that you can lean on going forward. He went from being one of the most inefficient running backs in football. At one point, it was him, Kyren, and Najee in the top 25 overall rushers in football, most rushing yards on the season. I think it was like through the first 5 weeks. Him, Najee, and Kyren were the only three running backs averaging less than 4 yards per carry, and it was like 3.7, 3.6, and 3.5 or something. And you remember when Swift was running into the back of his own players, not finding holes. It's completely shifted back. And, you know, you could say Swift's long run last week was kind of one of the starters for the Chicago offense. And Swift, over the last four games since week four, running back 3, running back 2, running back 8, running back 11. So what he is, he's top 10 running back, period, point blank. I like Chicago in this game to get right. It's a good football team, and they only got a couple more of these good opportunities left before the weather turns, which is happening soon. They go back home for a 3-game stretch after this. Chicago's got to make hay while the sun's shining.
DJ Moore, my wide receiver 14, but he is number one in cuck score this week. He is the best. He has the highest cuck score
coming out.
That's right. The cuck score is coming out. It's done. Well, it's out now. It's out this Friday. The cuck score is live. You got to join the Patreon, though. This is for certain members only. You'll get an article on southharmonff.com every Friday, just kind of a recap or highlighting or whatever I feel like. But if you want access to the full cuck score, get over to patreon.com/southharmon. Get in the right tiers and get this cuck score. But he is the number one in the cuck score, so I am very happy that you are happy with DJ Moore. The next game was going to be probably the game of the week. Still could be if Jordan Love suits up. 6-1 Detroit Lions play the divisional foe, the 6-2 Green Bay Packers. 48.5 over under. The Lions are 3.5-point favorites as they head into Lambeau. Feels like a smash everyone around for fantasy purposes, right? We're playing everybody. But what are your thoughts? Just go ahead and give me your overall thoughts on the game, how it plays out, and what if you, if someone stands out in your rankings or whatnot?
Well, I like Green Bay in this game. Oddly enough, I know Detroit has been just a complete juggernaut, but going into Lambeau, game of the week, the leaves are turning. I don't know what the weather's going to be in Green Bay. It's usually a brisk day. I would say it's probably going to be a brisk like 48 on Sunday. Let me look at the Green Bay.
I think it's going to be nice, actually. I'm not mistaken.
It's usually beautifully sunny, but a little brisk. Sunday, Sunday, 4 p.m., 51. It's going to be a beautifully chilly day. I think the Lions are for that, though. That's not really a big point. But more so than anything, it's going to be a beautiful day of football up there. As putrid as that city is, they do have some great football games. Jordan Love, this is the big question for me. What is Jordan Love? The last day we've seen, he's determined to play despite the groin strain. Love, Lions game is realistic, even with no practice. This is something that came out. He's realistic that he plays even with no practice this week.
Interesting.
Game time decision type of situation right there, which I guess helps Green Bay in what? They're not going to – I mean, if Detroit thinks Malik Willis is going to play, they're going to respect him, but they understand what his strengths are.
That's right.
It's a different game than when Jordan Love plays. And they're gonna plan for Jordan Love. And if Malik gets dropped in, they'll have ideas on what to do there. That doesn't really matter. But for fantasy football, I do think to a certain extent it does matter. I think they're gonna try to establish the run with Josh Jacobs. You have to. You're at home. This is the game. Josh Jacobs is one of the better running backs in all the football right now. He's proven that to this point. As far as the receivers and stuff go in this game, you love Amon-Ra. I think in Green Bay, I continue to favor Reed, then Dobbs. They're the two guys that feel the most consistent in this thing. Wicks and Watson have to be further down for me because I can't really predict which week each one's going to do something. At tight end, I love Sam Laporta. I mean, we talked about this a week ago on the hurdle, and I think we talked about it on the cookup, but with no Jameson Williams, it's too easy to just go, yeah, yep, Sam Laporta. And we saw last week the targets tick up for Sam Laporta in this one, go all the way up to 6 targets, most on the year. No J-Mo, way less for J-Mo, way Mo for Sam Laporta. And who knows what happens with Jameson off the field. So if you have an opportunity to get any Laporta, I think you need to take advantage of it. He didn't quite go berserk last week, but he was top 10. He was tight end 8. I think there's a potential that we get a little berserk Sam Laporta this week with a couple tugs. I'm going to stamp myself on that one and say I like Sam Laporta. That's my bull take of the week from this game. I think Tucker Kraft's a top 10 play as well. I think this game, do you love the slate this week? And I love Cowboys Falcons.
Yep.
From a fantasy football perspective. I love the Dolphins and Bills. I think that's an interesting game. I love the Bears and Cardinals. I love the Lions and Packers.
There's other games on the slate too that I love. We're going to get to them. This is a good slate. This is a fantastic slate, to be honest. This is a great slate. The next game is one of those games. Who's going to come atop? The NFC West. The suddenly back in it Los Angeles Rams head up to the Pacific Northwest to take on the Seattle Super Seahawks. Basically a pick'em game. The Rams are actually laying 1.5 as road favorites. Over-under 48 is chef's kiss. Could this be the highest scoring game in week 9?
No. I don't know about that. I think Sunday Night Football is going to score more points than this one. I think Rams and Seahawks would be a good game. But you got to remember, like this, the deep, deep depths of this division is slobber knocker football.
It is.
And can slobber knocker football be 27-24? Yeah. But This is a tough division, and these are two good defenses that are, I would say, underrated right now. Both have good offenses. I don't think DK. Let me check this DK thing.
Doesn't seem like he's gonna play. No,
I don't think he's gonna. Yeah, I don't think he's gonna play. Remained out of practice on Wednesday, trending toward a return, the following week. I think it's a good game. I like the Rams in it. I love that we finally get Kupp and Nacua back.
That's right.
I think this thing regresses back towards Kupp. I know Nacua kind of burst on the scene as a sneak. He was sneaky last week, right, doing that. That was some bullshit to all the fantasy managers getting kind of okey-doked into the Kupp side. But I no, do think
you play, guys, if you didn't play Nacua, you were a certified meow.
Yeah, but meow. Yeah, but let's be honest, dog. Like, people meow. Played him, but you didn't know he was going to play until the last minute.
It was enough. You getting rumblings during the day. There was enough. It wasn't like, oh, he's in. I can't get to my phone in time. No, you had time.
That's not the point. The point is not that you couldn't get to your phone in time. The point was that the theory behind it was that, all right, we know we're getting Kupp back, and Kupp is going to be more healthy and be ready to go and get a target share.
Yeah, but
there was never like that too. Rumbling of Puka.
Kupp was good too. You should have played them both.
Correct.
Yeah, you play Nacua. You just play him. I thought I was conservative with my ranking of Nacua, and I think I had about like 27. That's still you play him.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. There is that rare occasion where it's like, oh, do I play Garrett Wilson or Puka Nacua? My team's so fucking loaded. But fuck that guy. He doesn't need advice. He has the best team ever. But I do kind of agree with you that I think the 48 is a bit fugazi. I think it sounds good. I don't know if it gets there. I think that a lot of Kyren, a lot of Ken Walker from both sides. I think, like you said, the new regime in Seattle, they've really had a good offense, but I think they're still going to want to win defense. That running wall that McDonald is just known for at Michigan and all that stuff. So I don't think it hits that total, but in terms of fantasy, it feels like you play the hits, baby.
Play the hits. I'll reverse the question back to you. We're going to have a quad box on Sunday afternoon. Bears, Cardinals, Jags, Eagles, Lions, Packers, Rams, Seahawks. The perfect YouTube TV quad box after we get an octo box during the day with the early slate. Perfect octo.
Box.
Perfect quad. I think Rams, Seahawks is the third highest scoring game in the quad. The only game that doesn't outscore is Eagles. Eagles, Jags.
Which brings us to the next and final game in the 4 o'clock slate. The Jacksonville Jaguars take their 2-6 record to Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, to take on the 5-2 Philadelphia Eagles. Jacksonville getting a touchdown and a half as road underdogs makes complete sense. The over under though, 45.5. I get it. The Eagles defense has been good, but the Jaguars defense is so bad. I feel like the Eagles could put up a 35 spot. Easy in this game.
Yep.
How do you see it going? Is it just as clear cut as we think, or is there a chance that Jacksonville nuts up and plays a good game on the road?
No. I mean, there's a chance. There's the Dougie Peterson piece here, good right? He's going back home. But yep. I mean, miss me with this whole thing. The Jags are as good as a fried piece of bread at this point. And
what? That's not terrible.
Yeah, I mean, technically it's not terrible, but it's not great.
I think how we feel with the Jaguars. Like we don't hate the idea of playing Evan Ingram. We don't hate the idea of playing Tank Bigsby. If Brian Thomas plays, we don't hate the idea of playing Brian Thomas. But yeah, it's not great. You're not happy. You don't feel satiated after you have a fried piece of bread.
The last time, this isn't Doug Peterson's first time either, going back to Philly. The last time they played was week 4, 2022. Miles Sanders went berserk, 134 and 2 rushing touchdowns. Hurts threw for 200 yards. They had Brown, Goddard, Devonta in this game on the Jacksonville side. James Robinson, your boy James Robinson, split carries with Travis Etienne. They both averaged 4 yards or less per carry. T-Law threw a pick, completed 50% of his passes. Christian Kirk, 9 targets, 2 receptions, 60 yards. They lost the game 29-21. It was 29-14 until 7 minutes left in the game when Jamal Agnew caught his second touchdown of the day. So I think this is a pure game. You said 35. They scored 29 the last time around. This Jacksonville team's much worse than it was 2 years ago. 35-10. 35. Didn't I say 35-10 for a different game? I like 35-10 for this one too.
And so that put them right at that threshold of the over-under.
What's the over-under? 44?
45.5.
That's a good number.
It's a great number. But I think if you believe that the Eagles can hang a 35-point spot, you got to take the over. Because even just a nonsensical garbage time, anything, pushes you over.
Yep.
So you got to go with the over there. But yeah, I think fantasy-wise, it's pretty straightforward.
Is Saquon your number one this week?
He's up there. I think he's number two.
Two?
Behind Kamara. Kamara's just... He just, that matchup is so juicy against the Panthers. But yeah, I got Barkley at number two. Barkley's freaking awesome. AJ Brown's been awesome. He's my number three receiver. Devontae Smith will always be inside my top 20, right around 20, because that big play ability. It's pretty straightforward. I got Jalen Hurts as my QB1 this week.
Same.
Jalen Hurts, I think, is ready to go bananas.
This is the ultimate like dominator spot. We talked about some of these other games we love because we think that they can score. They can both score. This one, I just feel like, is the classic Eagles jump out early, 21 zip in the first quarter, and they just ride high. I mean, the Eagles team's starting to turn the corner. They went into that bye week 2-2. They beat Cleveland at home. They go on the road, two games against the Giants and Bengals, two not great teams, and they do the job. They win by 24 and 20. Now they come back home. Then they go right into divisional play. I think the biggest threat, this isn't a take because Dallas sucks, but the biggest threat to Washington right now is just a burning hot Philadelphia team.
Yeah.
That's going to be a big matchup in week 11.
That's going to be a great game. Yeah, I think this week for the Eagles, it looks very similar to how it did last week when they took care of business against the Bengals. Let's head to Sunday Night Football. Joe Flacco named the starter not just this week, this season. The Indianapolis Colts take their 4-4 record, and they head to play the Minnesota Vikings, who are now 5-2 after suffering back-to-back losses. The Vikings are 5-point favorites at home, the over-under 46.5. Joe Flacco, was that the right choice? If you were Chris Ballard, do you make that choice? That's my first question. My second question, are we now ready? Can we be excited about Michael Pittman and Josh Downs?
Oh, yeah. Permission to get excited about Josh Downs permanently, rest of season. One argument we had a lot on Roster Watch's waiver wire show this week was Cedric Tillman versus Josh Downs. Who do you want more rest of season?
Downs, but you got me wanting Tillman right there after that rant you went on. It's pretty epic.
I think it's tight. This whole thing, people kind of blew it out of proportion on Twitter. Like we said, on a scale of bad to not ready, I think he's more not ready than anything. And that's just, I know it was funny, but it's the fact that I think he's just not ready. He's played 10 games in his career, and he's actually had better output than Josh Allen had in his first 10 games. But the point is, this is entirely, the whole point of this thing, to me, is easy. Chris Ballard doesn't want to lose his job. This team,
that's what
it is. Jim Irsay is just enough on the edge. Like, he's just enough. He's just maniacal enough, I should say. That if this thing goes 7-10, everyone's gone. Everyone's gone. GM, coach, coordinator, janitor, doesn't matter. Gone. Everyone. But if they go 9-8 or 10-7 to make the playoffs, he'll buy another year. And that will buy Anthony Richardson time. It'll buy Ballard time. It'll buy Steichen time to bring Richardson along this year and have him fired up with a full offseason. Maybe he gets an opportunity later this season. Who knows what happens with Flacco? The guy's like 45,000 years old. Like, if he gets hurt, Richardson has to be ready. Sometimes it only takes a couple weeks for these guys to play behind a veteran and learn about the process. You don't exactly learn the full process when you are the lead dog, when you're the starter, and now you get to sit behind Flacco. So I think it's going to really help Richardson. These are tough matchups here with the Vikings, Bills, Jets, Lions the next 4 weeks, and the Colts need to win some games. I think the Colts beat the Vikings in Sunday Night Football straight up. They're 5.5-point dogs. I think there's a real chance that the Colts can win this game, let alone not just cover. They flexed it into Sunday Night Football. I think it's the ultimate, if you were to say the NFL writes the script, why the hell did the Colts get flipped into flexed into Sunday Night Football? Was because the NFL writes the script. They knew Flacco was going to play. They knew the Vikings were going to melt, and they want to watch the Vikings melt in primetime. This is just pure, you know, Viking hatred here coming from diabolical. The NFL. I think Sam Darnsky's going to play just fine, but I think Flacco's going to have a vintage Flacco, 23-33, 310. Pittman has a day. Downs has a day. Jonathan Taylor runs wild up there in Minneapolis. And this is a great day. I got Jonathan Taylor as a top 10 play against a top 5 defense, difficulty, especially a bottom 5 defense, I guess, against the run. I think Jonathan Taylor is continuing to get right. This team's getting right. Two teams, I think, have a chance to get hot as the stretch goes. If Taylor can get right, I do think the Colts can make some noise. And then the Eagles, who we just talked about.
Flacco definitely makes the pass catchers relevant, and I'm with you there. I'm excited to play pretty much everyone on the Colts side of the football. And, you know, it was the right choice to make this switch. It absolutely was, and it was made even easier when he tapped out of a game. Unheard of. So I think it was smart, but make no mistake about it. This had nothing to do with what was better for the Colts. This was what was better for Chris Ballard. Because we love Chris Ballard, but when you look at what reality is around his tenure as GM, it's really a big steaming pile of who gives a shit to actually dog shit, to be quite frank. We anoint him the winner of the draft every year, but they haven't done anything in terms of win and losses. And remember, he was the idea behind churning the wheels and getting Matt Ryan and Phillip Rivers and all this failure, failure, failure. If he fails with Anthony Richardson, he's gone, because then you've failed both ways of trying to rebuild this thing. So, yeah, he's playing for his job. Makes sense, but we like it for the pass catchers. Only question I have for you, and then we'll move on to the final game in Week 9. Everything seems pretty straightforward in this game. The one player that I just don't know what to do with, Jordan Addison.
Why?
It's just been very, very fluky and not how I like my wide receivers, especially ones like him, to produce. It's been highs and lows. Last week it was bad. It was just one big play, and it still was only like 9 fantasy points. Mm-hmm. I got him at wide receiver 41, one spot ahead of Jalen Coker.
I think I'd play Coker.
See, I think I'd play Coker too. So I think I'm going to make that switch right now.
Addison hasn't been a killer. Yeah, I got him at 42.
Yeah, it just, I think you, if, I'm avoiding playing him if possible, because I'm looking at who I have him ranked around, and I think I mean, let's play a quick name game with Jordan Addison. Jordan Addison or Rome Odunze?
Rome.
Jordan Addison or Elijah Moore?
Elijah Moore.
Jordan Addison or Jalen Coker?
Coker.
Jordan Addison or Romeo Dubs?
Dobbs.
You're obviously going to take Keon Coleman over Jordan Addison after what we talked about earlier. And the last name on this name game, Jordan Addison or Christian Watson?
Addison.
See, I got Watson there because I think, give me the guy who's at least bigger to make the big play. I know that might be a Fugazi comment, but they are back-to-back 44 and 45 in my updated rankings. Let's move on to Monday Night Football, a game of what could have been. If there were no Mike Evans and Chris Godwin injuries, I think we would be teeing up one of the best games on the season for Monday Night Football.
One thing we forgot about was TJ Hawkinson. He's back this week.
Oh, he is. For sure, for sure?
I mean, that's what they said. They said there's not going to be a snap count limit on him.
Okay, well, then
he was going to borderline play last week. I forgot to bring that up a minute ago. I don't know what our expectations should be for Hawkinson. But you just talked about Addison and his lack of overall output. I do think that Hawkinson jumps right back in here and kind of just proves who he is. Again, this guy literally had 95 receptions last year in this offense. He's rather important, I would say. So the tight end position has been tough all year until tight end week or whatever the fuck you call last week. Was it tight end day or tight end week?
National Tight Ends Day.
Yeah. Well, last year, multiple games that our guy TJ Hawkinson gave us 15, 12, 12, 11, 9, 9, 8, 8, 8, 8, 8 targets. So, and that was in this scheme. Not with this quarterback, but in this scheme. And that's more than what we've gotten out of Jordan Addison to this point. Didn't score a lot of touchdowns, but he was targeted like a motherfucker. They say he's not going to have any restrictions in this game. I think he's going to be full go. I think he's a top 8 play ahead of Cole Kmet, and I just put him just a touch ahead of Jake Ferguson.
Well, I got him at tight end 9 because I just need to see it with the quarterback. Once I see it once, it's off to the races. So, yeah, I'm glad you brought up TJ Hawkinson. He's definitely a top 10 play. Should be inserted right into the starting lineup for 99% of teams who roster him. All right, let's wrap this baby up. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 4-4. They head to the Kansas City Super Bowl winning Chiefs, who are still undefeated at 7-0. The Buccaneers are getting 8.5 as road underdogs. Over-under of 44 is depressing. Without these injuries, I think we would have seen a better number. It feels like it's going to be a bore. It feels like it's going to be a Chiefs domination. How do you see this game going?
Yeah, this is the Chiefs haven't really been dominant. They haven't really they haven't really had to be dominant. They haven't really pushed the gas pedal down per se in a while. They've scored 28 points as a max all season, 28, 27, 27, 26, 26. Like that's been like their, if we get to this point, we're going to win. The defense has allowed more than 20 points just once. And that was against the Cincinnati Bengals back in week 2. They're of course undefeated. The thing is in a game like this, like Baker Mayfield's playing at such a high level personally. Yeah. That despite the weaponry being pretty cheeks, Cade Otton felt right in as the number one option in this offense. Went maniacal last week against Atlanta. And the worry last week was, how's Tampa going to score? Well, Tampa was down 31-17. And in the fourth quarter, scored 9 points, and they got a safety, but they scored 9 points, and they made this thing tight. They made it a question in the final 5 minutes what was going to happen. There was opportunities for them to move the football down the field as the time kind of waned on. I think Baker can make this thing a game. Remember, this is a Central Texas special right here with Baker against Patty Mack. High school kids and college, both Texas Tech guys, before Baker transferred. But anyway, I do think this is a great Monday Night Football game. I don't know if Tampa just quite has enough gas. This could be the first time we see Kansas City push that foot down and score, I don't know, 33, 35, 37, score some points. We haven't seen Kansas City score some points. They scored 31 against the Raiders last year in week 12, 31 against the Chargers last year in week 7. They haven't scored more than 31 points since week 3 last year when they scored 41 to the Bears. This is like a team that it's completely shifted when they got the running game and the defense. They haven't had to score that many points. This this Tampa Bay team just feels like it has a weird element to it where it's like it's going to score points no matter what. So I do think it'll be a good Monday night game. As far as the weaponry and who I'm playing, I'm probably going to generally stay away from most of these guys in Tampa. I'd love to hear what you think about some of these, you know, past Kate Otten. Like McMillan had 7 targets but kind of flamed out last week as far as expectation. Sterling Shepard's a boring play. Raheem Jarrett, the super agile guy from Maryland a couple years ago, popped a little bit. Does Rashad White bounce back? I think so, to a certain extent. I feel indifferent about almost everything in Tampa, though, other than our guy, Cade Otton.
Yeah, I like Otten. In terms of the pass catchers, I'm really looking to find other arrangements, whether that be Jalen Coker, Keon Coleman, and seasonal. I just don't love the expectation of any of them really balling out. Like, I have Jalen McMillan at wide receiver 60. I just don't trust him. Yeah. With 7 targets, it was so rough. I don't see any more than that. Could he convert on one of those? Sure. Doesn't seem like a good bet. And also, it does seem like it could be a game where this is a statement game to the NFL, where the Chiefs, like you said, don't only strangle them out, but kick the shit out of them. I got Pat Mahomes at quarterback, too. I do. I'm in absolute lockstep with you that I believe this is a big, big game for the offensive side of the Kansas City Chiefs, because Baker's going to make it tough. Like you said, he's going to at least be pesky enough to keep them trying. But yeah, I like a lot of the options on the Kansas City side. For me, believe it or not, from the couch to the top 20, I got Kareem Hunt at 22 this week. So top, running back 2 this week. So it seems like a game that we should like the Chiefs. We like Cade Otton after that. I don't know. Baker 13, both White and Irving are outside of my top 24. It's really just Kansas City for me to be excited about the players in fantasy football. And I do think the Chiefs come away with an easy win on Monday Night Football, whether it looks that way or not. But that's it. That was easy. A clean 120, a clean hour and 20 minutes of week 9 football perfection. Make sure you head over to southharmonff.com. Get the Warp Tool, get the rankings, join the Patreon, patreon.com/southharmon, to get in the Discord and be a member of the shit family, South Harmon family. Cody Carpentier, I'm Matty Kewem. This is the walkthrough for week 9. We'll see your asses in week 10. Peace.